Buenos dias from San Gervasi. This is the Rorschach Spain update from the 16th of October, 2025. Quick summary of what's going down in Spain. First up this week, on Monday the 13th, peace deal was signed between Israel and Gaza. Returning from the Sharm el-Sheikh peace summit, President Pedro Sanchez stressed that Spain will pursue accountability for Israel's actions under Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu through the International Criminal Court. He confirmed that Spain will maintain an arms embargo on Israel despite the peace deal and may send peacekeeping troops to Gaza to support reconstruction and a two-state solution. Sanchez defended Spain's early recognition of Palestine, which he said strengthened its international credibility. On to home affairs, on Tuesday the 14th, government unveiled its proposal to add the right to abortion to the Constitution, creating a new section in Article 43 that recognizes women's rights to terminate pregnancy, guaranteeing public authorities will ensure it under equal conditions. Minister Ana Redondo and Monica Garcia from the Socialist Party presented the reform, calling it a constitutional shield for women's rights. Socialists and Sumar reached a last-minute agreement on the proposal after intense overnight negotiations. However, reform is unlikely to pass without support of the opposition, the Partido Popular, PP. According to the National Institute of Statistics, Spain's inflation rate hit 3% in September, its highest level in 8 months, driven mainly by higher food, fuel, and electricity prices. Core inflation, which excludes energy and fresh food, held steady at just over 2%, but the total figure has moved Spain away from the European Central Bank's 2% target. Olive oil prices in September fell sharply after previous record highs, as well as key food items such as coffee, chocolate, eggs, and beef. Economists warn that global trade tensions and higher U.S. import costs could further disrupt supply chains and slow the disinflation process. Speaking of the U.S., on Wednesday the 15th, President Trump threatened to impose tariffs on Spain after it refused to raise its defense spending to 5% of GDP, accusing Madrid of disrespecting NATO. Speaking at the White House, Trump said he was very unhappy with Spain and was considering trade punishment through tariffs. He's long pressed NATO allies to boost defense spending and recently suggested the alliance should expel Spain over its refusal to meet the new target. Spain remains the only NATO member not to commit to the 5% goal, maintaining its current plan to spend 2.1%, which President Pedro Sanchez called sufficient and realistic. Heavy rainfall from Storm Alice caused severe flooding across eastern Spain, trapping residents in cars and forcing evacuation. Storm began on Tuesday the 7th, wrapped up a week later on Tuesday the 14th. Catalonia has been hit the hardest, with muddy rivers surging through the streets in Tarragona. State of emergency has been declared in 5 regions across the peninsula. Authorities evacuated residents in Murcia in the south and opened emergency shelters after receiving thousands of distress calls. The Balearic Islands off the coast of Catalonia, including Mallorca and Ibiza, remain under amber and yellow weather warnings as further rainfall is expected. Luckily, no deaths have been reported. Clear skies have already moved into the affected areas. Next, Monday the 13th, the city of Santiago de Compostela in northwestern Spain announced it would ban the opening of new souvenir and specialty shops in the historic center to curb over-tourism and preserve local life. The city is one of Spain's top tourist destinations, already has nearly 100 souvenir stores packed into just a few streets. Officials say the measures aim to repopulate the old town with residents and local businesses after decades of growing commercialization linked to the Camino de Santiago, the famous walk Christian pilgrims make across the world that they undertake. While globalization has turned souvenirs into a thriving business, city leaders insist that restricting new stores is essential to protecting Santiago's cultural heritage. Some crime. On Sunday the 12th, Spanish police arrested 2 women activists from the Futuro Vegetal movement after they vandalized a painting of Christopher Columbus in Madrid's Naval Museum. Demonstrators threw red paint over the artwork to protest Spain's national holiday and denounce the legacies of historical and contemporary colonialism. Christopher Columbus was indeed a jerk. Museum staff quickly detained the activists until authorities arrived and restored the painting within hours, allowing it to return to public display. The incident reignited debate over protecting artwork that represents Spain's history and cultural heritage, as well as whether or not there ought to be a painting of Christopher Columbus displayed in a position of prominence as it was. On Tuesday the 14th, news outlet Reuters reported that Spain has become the leading candidate for BYD, a Chinese multinational car company, to build its third European new energy vehicle manufacturing plant. Vehicle manufacturer favors Spain due to its relatively low production costs, well-established clean energy infrastructure, and position as Europe's second largest car production hub after Germany. Government incentivizes electric vehicle products through its 5 billion euro support package that was announced in 2020. Analysts expect the facility to create jobs, boost local supply chains, further solidify Spain's position as a strategic location for sustainable automotive production. In keeping with tech, IBM, one of the world's largest tech companies, has inaugurated the IBM Quantum System 2 computer in San Sebastian in northern Spain, placing the country at the forefront of quantum computing in Europe. The computer features a powerful processor, the first of its kind in Europe, and third globally, surpassing IBM's previous Eagle processors in Germany. Quantum computing is powerful because it can solve complicated problems in record times and could potentially optimize traffic planning, medical designs, and improve AI, of course. According to a recent article by news outlet Variety, the country has become a global powerhouse in streaming and audiovisual content. Government incentives and investment have boosted local production, attracted foreign projects, and encouraged Latin American creators to establish bases in places like Madrid. Spain even opened a support office in Singapore, reflecting growing demand in Asia. Popular hits like Netflix's Money Heist, its ridiculous English name for La Casa de Papel, and Society of the Snow, La Sociedad de la Nieve, and Prime Video's Red Queen, Reina Roja, have strengthened Spain's reputation. Between 2022 and mid-2025, Spanish titles accounted for just over 6% of the global non-English streaming revenue. Now, story from the world of bullfighting, which is evidently still around. On Sunday the 12th, Morante de la Puebla, Spain's top matador, retired at 46 years old after a dramatic final fight at Madrid's Las Ventas. Despite a heavy injury earlier in the afternoon, Morante delivered a strong performance, earning the audience's highest honor as he was carried through the arena where he symbolically cut off his own ponytail in the ring. His retirement leaves bullfighting without one of its most popular figures at a time when public sentiment is turning against the sport. A BBVA Foundation study showed that 7 in 10 Spaniards now oppose bullfights, particularly younger and university-educated citizens. On Monday the 13th, news outlet El País released an article exploring the wealth differences within Spanish generations. Since 2004, the median income of retired citizens has risen from 20% below the poverty line, below the national average, to 5% above it, while families with children now earn the least. Poverty, once concentrated among seniors, has shifted in recent years. Since 2004, roughly 15% of retirees have been living in poor conditions, compared with 21% of young adults and 29% of children. El País's research also shows Spain now spends about 5% more than the EU average on pensions. Closing with a story for donut fans like me, on Wednesday the 15th, donut giant Krispy Kreme officially entered the Spanish market, opening of its first store in Madrid, aiming to expand rapidly across the peninsula with more than 50 outlets in the next 4 years. The brand, known globally for its signature original glazed donuts and coffee, seeks to build a strong retail and cafe presence in Spain, competitive bakery and coffee sectors, which will be tough because there's a cafe and bar on every single corner. And that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us. Hasta la próxima.